from the Triple M studios.
God, it's all happening.
This is the Marty Shear Gold Show. Triple M.
Have you got an unfortunate name or an unusual name? We've talked Misty Hyman over the years.
Yes.
Yep. Mitch Gaylord, the King of the Rings. Some people will remember Mitch Gaylord. He was an English Olympian. And his specialty in gymnastics was the rings.
Yeah.
And God, it used to make us laugh when we were kids. And you could still laugh in those days at a bloke called Gaylord. You can't anymore, and I wouldn't ever suggest that you can laugh at a guy called Mitch Gaylord.
No, you can't. Is it? Oh, you can't. Can't. Is it Fanny Schmeller?
Yeah,
she was a skier. Yeah.
One of our favourites, Fanny Schmeller.
Yeah.
Carmen Farkas.
Carmen Farkas, and that was the name she took.
Yes.
She was just Carmen.
Oh, San Diego, I don't know. But
I thought she was a mate of yours. All this time we've been talking about Carmen Farkas and she's not a mate of yours?
No, she was a client at my mum's old work years ago.
Right. Oh, right, okay.
And she took Farkas as her married name.
Yeah. She chose that.
And it makes sense if your name's Carmen. And the option is to then take Farkas, as if you're not going to. Carmen Farkas.
Someone told us.
And then Carmen, sit next to me and we can have a chat.
Someone told us that it's actually Carmen Farkar.
Farkar.
It's a silent S.
Which isn't heaped.
No.
No.
A woman named Samantha recently went viral on TikTok.
Yes.
Of course she did. For sharing how her name has drawn negative attention as she's gotten older and started operating in professional workplaces.
Right.
Right.
She begins the clip by announcing that she's moving to another job soon, something that fills her with dread because of an issue that always arises when she changes workplaces.
My name is Samantha Hart, and most companies use the email designation of first initial last name, meaning that my email would be short.
Mm. It is unfortunate.
That is very unfortunate.
It becomes shart.
Yeah.
Which for the uninitiated, of course, is when you fart and follow through and poop yourself.
Nicely put.
Thank you. There's a bit of sharting going on.
Yeah.
The response to a video was flooded with solidarity from fellow unfortunate name bearers. Chris Littman becomes Clipman.
Well, that one's more obvious, isn't it, than Samantha Hart.
Samantha Wallow becomes Swallow. Sue Hartlove becomes Shart Love.
It's worse than just Shart.
Tiffany Estes becomes Testies.
Yeah.
Rach Kelly becomes R. Kelly.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
No. Yeah.
And Brad Allsman becomes Ballsman. John, have you got a funny name for us?
Well, my last name's Thrush.
Yeah.
Oh,
and... Yeah, it's shit ass. Just an ordinary, sorry.
Yeah.
John Thrush.
And that nickname's been Scratcher since I was 14.
Yeah, no, so it should be.
And to make it worse, one of my sisters, married a fella with the last name Cockburn.
Oh, no. But she hasn't hyphenated it to Cockburn Thrush, has she?
No, she hasn't, but she's since divorced and gone on. But,
thank
she
God.
She went back to Thrush.
Yeah. What did you think of him? Were you happy when they got divorced?
Oh, look, I sort of can't really say.
If you can't really say,
yes,
that means you were.
Or they're still mates.
Or he's in the car with him.
Yeah.
It's really not anonymous. We know a lot about John.
Yeah. Oh, do we?
John, his name's John Thrush.
John Thrush.
Oh, yeah, all right. I thought he might have been a regular caller. Hello, Darren.
Hello, how are you going?
Oh, never better, Darren. How are you, mate?
Really good, really good.
Nice. Well done.
Funny name, I was in our primary school and we had a teacher, her name was Miss Wannacock.
Oh, no, it wasn't. Miss Wannacock?
Miss Wannacock, yes.
Most of them do.
The Marty Shear Gold Show. Triple M. It's the Dance Academy.
Well, you won't be surprised. Yeah. It's an influencer on Instagram that we're whacking into the Dunce Academy. She could even go into the red-headed bird.
Oh, Pauline Hanson.
Oh, yeah.
Wing. Oh, wow.
She could nestle right into the Pauline Hanson wing.
Really? Yeah.
So she gets a question on Instagram from somebody else.
Yeah.
Advice for feeling lost in life? Yeah. I'm 23 and feel like I'm so far behind for people my age.
Yeah.
Right.
So then the influencer, who's Kerry ex Gribble.
Yeah, she's now put her profile on private. She's got 126,000 followers, and
she's to flick
she's
it
been
on Shushy.
Roasted, I think. Yeah, this.
Run away. Well, this is her answer to the kid who's asking.
Oh, this will be
any
good.
Advice okay. for a 23-year-old?
I'm listening.
She said, "I'm 23 and I feel the same too." GF,
girlfriend,
girlfriend. Oh, girlfriend. Right. Girlfriend.
Sometimes I just sit back and think, FK. I can have the aircon on for as long as I like and know I can pay the bill for it.
Okay.
Then I remember I'm doing pretty well. Love yeah. heart.
Oh, no, no.
So you can just run the aircon.
Good touch.
No advice yet, by the way.
No advice yet.
It's just a statement. Just didn't run the aircon for as long as I like. I didn't know that was a thing.
No.
I just thought assumed bubble. We all did that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you just like put the aircon on and leave it?
Looks like someone asking you.
I know.
Any advice? Run your aircon. Live a little. Then this is the best bit.
Yeah.
Josh and I own 4 houses, about to buy our 5th and live a pretty financially free lifestyle. And I feel like I'm behind too.
Oh,
it's just human nature, I think. XX.
Oh, so she's like, I have all this and I still feel like I'm behind.
It's just, mate, it's just human nature.
You'd be fine.
Yeah, run your aircon, sweetheart.
Thanks, Kerry.
Let's put her in. It's the Dunce Academy.
On Triple M, this is the Marty Sheargold Show.
Close calls. Always fun. Have you had a close call? Did you nearly lose your life?
I was sucked under a bridge. Sorry,
you were too. So was I, but it's a separate story.
What happened there for a sec?
But it's the only way to suck it, but I was sucked under a bridge.
I know.
Almost drowned.
And so was I.
Yeah. Where did it happen for you?
Year 11. Oh, where did it happen?
Yeah, where?
Oh.
Yeah.
Anyway. Don't let him remember.
Several bridges, actually, now that I think about it.
Under the bridge downtown?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Close calls. Mm. We've got some amazing audio here of a highway patrol officer in Oklahoma.
This is just the other day.
Mate, this is a disaster. This bloke.
And he's fine, by the way.
He's totally fine, but I don't know how he's lived through this.
Yeah.
18th of Jan, highway patrol officer Jesse Gregory pulled over a vehicle as part of a traffic stop. Jesse's a very feminine name for a man.
But it,
separate chat.
It doesn't.
Separate chat.
In the 90s, it was very like.
It was big.
It was big.
It was popular.
He's talking to the driver of the car that he's pulled over. Lucky they're. Well, why is he talking? I suppose because the highway's on the left-hand
correct.
Side of the car.
So he's talking through
he's
the
talking
passenger,
through the passenger
he's being,
window.
He's putting safety first.
Yeah.
So he was standing on the shoulder of the car, the shoulder side of the car, and then out of absolutely nowhere, another vehicle runs into them from behind, and it cleans the whole thing up.
Yeah.
So here's the car guy. You're suspended. So I'm not taking you to jail. I'm letting you drive off.
Thanks, Matt.
Yeah.
Thank you, Matthew. Yeah.
Wasn't sure what happened there
that
for a second.
That was the crash. Yeah. That was the crash.
That was the crash.
Was it, Matthew?
Because I was lost.
Yeah. Hey, I don't know what was
mate, I heard the bang and I thought.
It was windy.
I heard the bang and I thought, I wonder if that was the crash.
Yeah,
and then Matthew
the
said
crash?
That was the crash.
That was the crash.
Like, right. Okay.
Yeah.
What was I thinking?
Paints a picture for you.
It's theatre of the mind, mate.
Glenn, close call. What happened?
Oh, look, I was a little kid. I was about 10 years old and I was walking along and I could see over the railway lines. My old man and my Uncle Jack were at the Chinese shop, which meant a couple of things. It meant my Uncle Jack and my cousins were down from Faulkner, which I was excited about. Plus, we're getting Chinese food for dinner, which I was excited about.
Of course.
About.
Chinese.
Yeah,
it was the only
I
thing
love
you
Chinese.
Which was a big thing back in the day.
No, it was very massive. Fancy. I remember when the Chinese shop came to our local shops, the Chinese restaurant, we were like,
this is great.
What's happened to the world?
I know. I love
Chinese
that.
Down at the shops.
Yeah.
Oh,
what did you order, Glenn?
On. It's still there. Well, no, I went bolting across the railway lines because I was excited. And I just took off and the last minute I jumped back because there was a train coming.
Oh, Jesus.
That would have been so bad, Glenn.
And till this day, my dad never knew about it. But one or two more steps, that would have been the enemy, I think.
Yeah. No, you didn't
Dad would
hear
have
it?
To put his lemon chicken down.
What's your close call, John?
Yeah, This is 55 years ago. A good mate of mine, we'll call him Gary Cooper because that was his name.
Nice one, John. Nice, John.
That was my second car's name.
He's on his new Honda 4 motorbike at the Glenroy Rail Crossing.
Yeah.
The train comes past to go to the city. As soon as the train passes, he guns it across the line and just got missed by the one going to Broadmeadows. Millimeters. He missed it by millimeters.
Jeez, wow. He was lucky.
He was very lucky. Yeah.
Took off after one, went past, and almost hit the one going the other way.
Wow. Gotta be, gotta be careful. Thanks, John.
That was a code brown, that one.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm really glad when we stick around. Because the Troy train was going.
Troy almost ran John over.
The Marty Sheargold Show. Triple M.
Sleepless in Vietnam. Sounds like a movie, doesn't it? Sleepless in Seattle.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I've ever seen that.
Haven't you?
I don't know if I have.
Oh, I love it.
It's Meg Ryan, isn't it?
And Tom Hanks.
And Hanksy.
Yep.
One of their three together, I think.
Three?
What else they do? Sleepless in Seattle.
You've got Mail and that volcano one, that weird volcano one. Joe versus the volcano.
I've never seen that.
That sounds forgettable. None of us have ever seen.
Sleepless in Seattle is lovely. It's a nice Friday night one.
Yeah. Is it, or is it just a rom-commy ladies movie?
Which is why,
but I love
it. It's a bit rom-commy ladies.
I'm too old for rom-commy lady movies.
But that's of the era when rom-coms, like, they don't make rom-coms anymore.
Not really, do they?
No, that go out in the cinema. They might do like Netflix originals.
That one with Sydney Sweeney at the moment. That was filmed in Sydney.
What's that one?
It's called Anyone But You.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they don't do it well. You know what I mean? Like,
I'm hearing
I miss it. Like old school rom-coms.
Mm. Sleepless in Seattle.
Maybe they should make Sleepless in Vietnam.
Well, let's see. 81-year-old Vietnamese farmer Thai Ngoc has become an online sensation after claiming to have lived happily and healthily without sleep since 1973.
I don't believe
How
him.
Is that even possible?
I don't
it's
believe
not.
Him.
Thai's a liar.
A liar?
A liar. Tiny Knock is a liar. His daily routine involves tending crops, managing ponds, and raising fish on his farm in the Nha Trang Valley, none of which he claims ever exhausts him quite enough to bring on sleep.
How frustrating. Really?
I've actually just looked down and seen a photo of Tiny Knock.
Yeah.
And he does look like he hasn't had a sleep in 50 years.
He looks bleary-eyed.
He looks buggered.
Well, you would be.
He looks broken. Yeah, that's the face of a man that's not sleeping.
Gosh. Mm. Ty, shut your eyes for a second. They're so red. He needs some...
Oh.
Yeah, he's got a touch of the Dickie Wilkins about him.
What?
Even when I'm sleeping. You think everyone's got a touch of the Dickie Wilkins?
It doesn't matter what it is. Oh, he's a smoker too.
Oh, of course he is. Jesus, he's sucking that cigarette so hard, his cheeks have disappeared into the back of his throat. Tiny young up, take a break.
Yeah, like a really thick shake.
Yeah. Maybe that's why you can't
The thickest
sleep.
Thick shake you've ever had. He's like... I love smoking!
The Marty Sheargold Show is on Triple M. This is the Marty Sheargold Show.
What hit you in the face?
Yeah. Great.
Let's just get back to the basics.
We're back.
I got hit in the face with a basketball at school.
Oh,
my God, it hurt.
Right in the nose and your eyes just immediately water.
It's like your whole face is pancaked.
Yes, it does feel like that.
Every now and then a crowd catch goes wrong and Australia's second one-day international against the Windies has ended in disaster. After a spectator copped the full brunt of a Sean Abbott 6 to the face. It's worth having a look at if you haven't Googled it.
It is so brutal.
And a cricket ball's got to be one of the worst balls to get in the face.
Oh, my God.
Just about the worst, yeah.
So hard. Abbott came to the rescue, smashing 69 in his match-saving innings. However, the brutal knock was where the problem also arose for the young fan, as Abbott latched onto a O'Shane Thomas slower ball, deposited into the members. Well, if you're hitting it into the members.
So this guy copped a ball to the face in a career high 69. Is that what we're saying? Yeah.
That's what we're saying. High 69, someone copped a ball in the face.
Wow.
And that can happen.
Absolutely.
A match saving 69.
Yeah. Wow.
Don't often get an opportunity to save a match with a 69.
No.
But you do get a ball in the face.
Yeah, you do.
With the 69. Cricket Australia confirmed the man's cut was stitched up and he's okay. A woman next to the man immediately launched into action and appeared to be helping him. Well, she's just a hero. They're everywhere.
Well, imagine she knows him.
She's a first responder.
Yeah.
She's gone, how can I be a hero in this situation and crowbar myself firmly into this story?
Yeah.
What if it's like his mum?
I don't think it's his mum.
Well, it could be his mum.
It could be his girlfriend.
Yeah. Although they do have different coloured skin. I'm not sure how all of that works.
Yeah. I reckon she's just a woman sitting nearby.
Just someone. Yeah,
she's a hero.
In the vicinity.
Just a nearby hero.
She's just waiting for someone to help.
Yeah.
You know? She's a saver.
Some people are out there just waiting to help people.
Yeah. Of course.
Hey, Greg.
How you going?
Good, mate. How are you?
All right. First time, long time.
Good day, Greg.
wasn't me that got hit in the face. It was actually me who hit a girl in the face with a shot put.
Oh, Jesus. What, you didn't?
Yeah.
What, you, she was just.
It was grade six, like, trials for school sports.
Yeah.
And I always came second in shot put every time. Right. I launched the last one, and it was going, too. Like, I was going to win.
Yeah.
And then dopey Angela Green would come strolling out, and bang, hits her clean in the face. Clean in the temple, knocked her out cold.
Oh my God! Well, that's dopey Angela Green for you.
Yeah. Was she okay?
Well, the worst thing was I got in trouble for it, and then I didn't even get a second throw.
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah.
That's the worst thing.
Is that right?
That's the worst thing. Yes. Not that Angela's unconscious after being hit by a shot put in the temple.
Yeah,
was that Greg couldn't have a second throw.
Yeah. Still angry about it. Thanks,
I get it.
Scally Wags is with us.
Scally,
boys, Loza, Matt.
Hello, Gallywags. Great to hear from you, buddy. What hit you in the face?
Back when I was teaching, year seven girl, swinging away, kept missing the tee ball. I went in, gave her some tips.
Yeah.
Told her, you know, do a couple of things. Went back, leaned on the fence. I was in, it was photo day, all dressed up.
Nice.
She's let it go. It's just gone, you know, bang, straight in the head.
Oh.
And I just remember seeing the red metal bat. I went down, blood everywhere.
Oh, no.
The class were in shock.
Yeah.
I went to sick bay.
Yeah.
She followed me. She was in shock. She was more upset than I was.
Of course.
Yeah, that was funny. And then just got patched up and then went back to school and took photos with a little, you know, little clips on your head, you know, little
staple things.
Yeah.
They're staples. That's it. Yeah.
Oh.
So, good day.
Yeah, good day. Yeah, good day.
Yeah, bloody great day.
On Triple M, this is the Marty Sheargold Show.
Animal attacks happen all the time. What animal attacked you? It's that broad.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What animal attacked you?
Pelican.
Pelican
took
right.
my sandwich.
A pelican took your sandwich. Obviously. And it was like that pig that chased me on the farm when I was a kid.
What happened?
A pig chased me. Unfortunately, there was a rusted out old flatbed truck halfway across the paddock and I could climb onto the back of the flatbed.
Right,
but otherwise, this pig was going to hit that.
Yeah.
That pig was going to really have a tilt at me.
Done some damage.
Honestly, the dog in Turkey that bit Natalie's boob.
Oh, my God.
My cousin.
Your cousin got bitten on the...
Ripped her bra off. She needed to get a tetanus shot. Oh, a rabies shot.
I wish I'd been there for all of that. Seeing the bra ripped off or whatnot.
Yeah, she had to get a rabies shot.
And her bra came off, a feisty monkey. How's this? Bloody monkeys.
Don't trust them.
No,
they're erratic.
If there's one animal you can't trust, it's the monkey.
Absolutely.
But I also want one, you know?
No.
I don't want one.
I think they're disgusting. I don't agree with people having them as pets, but they're so funny.
Well, this dirty monkey stole a tourist passport in Bali. A couple of things wrong already. You're in Bali. leaving the woman unable to salvage it. There's the photo of the dirty little monkey with the passport in its hands.
Oh, yeah.
He held the document to try to tempt the monkey into returning it. What did she use?
Paper. She gave it just paper to try and be like, come on.
Here, rip this.
Yeah, and it was like, no, I know what this is. You need it.
You need it.
No, I don't want to trade.
I don't want your paper. I've got your passport. Say you've been to Egypt. A little bit of live Dolby. Hey, a little bit of live Dolby there.
Do it again.
So, you've been to Brazil. How could you get a rip wrong? Oh, Venezuela.
Yeah, no,
that was better.
Hard things to rip passport.
They are. Now they don't have a sheet.
You ripped the sheet.
Ripped me own sheet. That's how committed I am to making quality radio.
15 other pieces of paper over there.
Could have picked any of them.
Instead of the monkey giving the passport back, another monkey joined in and started lashing out at the tourist. Yeah. That's when they start ganging up, like a little gang of apex monkeys coming out of the southeast.
This was no doubt in Ubud. Bali, I think.
Yeah, I think it's the monkey farm, I think they call
it. Forest.
Forest, yeah.
I think
I've
met these monkeys. And they tell you not to make eye contact with these monkeys.
Or carry food.
No, yeah. Or do anything, really.
No. Yeah,
they'll steal your sunglasses, they'll take your hat.
I got chased by one.
Yeah. Right. Just don't go.
I think that's the message. Don't go to Bali. I agree with you. Sandy, what animal got you?
A bat.
A bat? Oh, I hate bats.
A bat, dear.
Yeah, in my own backyard, actually.
Yeah. Yep.
Wound up in Frankston Hospital having rabies shots.
Oh, wow. I don't know what's worse, rabies shots or Frankston Hospital.
I thought you were going to say rabies shots or a bat, but yeah, I hear.
Sandy, what was the end? How did it all end up? Because Troy was telling me that if you don't get those shots really quickly, it can be a big issue.
Well, you can't cure rabies once you have it. You have to get
rabies. No, you absolutely can't. Yeah, and I knew that in the back of my mind. Yeah. I've got a nursing background, and so I was.
Sandy, didn't you?
Yeah, I know.
Your hero. You crowbarred that in.
I'm single, Marty. I'm, putting it out there.
Sandy's details for us, please, Matthew.
But, Sandy, what happened with the bat? Did it just launch at you?
Yeah, no. So what happened was I was in the lounge room, heard this big bang outside. My dogs went running out, went to the back door, and I, out of the corner of my eye, I saw this movement, and I looked to my right, and this massive fruit bat, it had obviously hit the window and dropped down, and it just spread its wings right out. It was massive.
Oh, wow.
But then, of course, my dog spotted it, and it wrapped itself around my dog's head. Like, I couldn't even see my dog's head.
Oh,
like
my God.
I'm panicking. I'm screaming. So I grabbed the hose. I think I'll try and hose it. But then it turned on me, and it wrapped itself.
Oh, you just faded out, Sandy. A bat bit you. Well done, mate.
The Marty Sheargold Show. Triple M.
Yesterday, we were chatting on the podcast, and for people who don't know, before the show is repackaged and goes out on the listener app.
The full show dump.
The full show dump. Thank you, Troy. We do a front end, which is about another 15, 20 minutes of content.
And then at the back as
and
well.
And then at the back of the actual full show dump, we do more content. So it's worth getting involved.
It's all quality too.
Oh. Absolute quality. And in fact, we're filming it now for the Triple M YouTube channel.
Correct.
Which you can find in the link of our Instagram page. So there's plenty of choices there for you. You can watch us make that, or you can listen to an extended version of the show via the listener app. It's all fun.
It's all there. Yeah.
Yesterday we got a message from a bloke, and we're asking the question, home surgery, have you performed it on yourself? Have you indeed performed it on someone else?
Or get in touch with Insta at Marty Sheargold Show.
This message was foul and gross, and we loved it.
Yeah.
It's from Mark. Mark. He says he was listening to us talk about Marty's little visit from the gout goblin.
It's 8 days since I first presented with gout.
It's almost gone now for you.
It's so close to gone now. I'd say it's a 1 out of 10 on the pain scale. Yes. See, that? Look at that. That's exactly where mine gets, right in that joint on the ball of your foot, of your big toe, where it meets the rest of you.
And it was
your big toe knuckle.
Swollen.
Your big toe knuckle.
Toe knuckle. So all
of
what
that,
it is.
All of that food can trigger it.
Well, Mark said it is the worst pain he's ever felt in his life, and it was more than the heart attack he had in 2013.
He's had a heart attack and he's put gout above that.
Yeah. And he says, I thought I'd send you a photo of the gout in my right knee that I had for a week. It was excruciatingly painful and ended up going to the hospital for pain relief and medication. Mm. But that wasn't before I grabbed a needle and a syringe from work, as he happened to work for an emergency service at the time.
There's his right knee there. It's double, if not triple, the size of his other knee.
Oh, stuck it under my kneecap.
Oh, my God.
And sucked out some of the yellow gout juice.
Oh, my God. And we've got the photo of the syringe there with the yellow gout juice in it that he's pulled out from under his own kneecap.
That's just swelling. That's swelling juice.
Yeah. It's home surgery. Oh. Awful.
We had a bloke once, remember, who pulled teeth out with the pliers.
That's right.
And I was like, you pulled your own tooth out with a set of pliers. And he's like, yeah, but me mate just tapped the end of them with a hammer. I'm like, no, mate.
That's not
how you build leverage.
don't understand fulcrum.
A little bit of home surgery, Travis.
Yeah, yeah. I went on a ride with a few of the boys, and we'd been riding for a couple of days, and I ended up with bad hemorrhoids. I think I might have already had them, but
yeah, but that wouldn't have helped.
No. But we got down to down Warrnambool Way, and the boys wanted to go out that night, party up, and I wanted to join them, and I could hardly walk. And I didn't want to go to hospital to get these hemorrhoids checked out because it's a little bit embarrassing.
Sure, mate. I've had hemorrhoids many times. I've had GPs try and push them back in with their thumb. I've tried it myself.
Yeah, so I decided to grab a bit of ice out of the esky and a pocket knife, and I went into the bathroom and bent over and jammed a bit of ice up around there.
Yeah,
and
numbed the area.
Oh, yeah, and then grabbed the knife and sliced her open. Within a couple of minutes, there's a few hemorrhoids sitting on the ground.
Sure.
What I didn't realise was that I think it's a vein or an artery or something like that.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
And then a lot more blood started to
appear.
Good.
So to cut a long story short, I ended up in hospital after all that. So
you should have just gone in the first place and not cut your own bum hole open.
Yeah, I should have, but
On Triple M, this is the Marty Sheargold Show.
What's the worst thing you've ever seen at a club or indeed a pub? I remember going into a set of toilets in a pub. I can't remember the name of it. Mm-hmm. There was 2 inches of wee through the whole toilet. I was like, someone's got to put a little sign up saying, everyone stop weeing.
Stop weeing on the floor, you animals.
As a team, we can fix this. Or even when I go into toilets and I see someone's like left a schooner on top of the toilet, I'm like, did you drink your beer in here?
Mm. Oh, is that?
I've done that before.
Oh, no, not in those.
Take my drinks into the toilet.
Oh, not in a pub toilet. Oh, Jesus, no, Christ.
I don't want to leave it outside.
Are you just worried that, like, piss particles are in the air?
And poop particles.
Oh, not to mention poop particles.
The whole thing. All the particles.
A friend of mine, I'm not going to name the establishment, but a late night venue, saw someone poop on a couch.
Wow. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Poop. That's outrageous.
Poop.
Saw the act of it?
Saw the act of it.
Wow.
What? That's heavy.
A little tummy bug?
No, I think maybe this person had been up for a long time and thought that they were.
Are you making excuses for them, Troy?
little tummy bug, perhaps? No. I just think it was a big night.
Yeah.
Have you pooed on a couch, have you, Troy?
Was it you?
Tummy bug, Troy?
Not saying a thing.
A former nightclub owner has revealed some of the most disgusting things that patrons do in pubs and nightclubs in Australia.
Yeah.
Danny Grant, a promoter and what's been described as a booze mogul.
Danny Grant.
The booze mogul.
Does he own his own alcohols?
I don't think so. I think he's just, you know, he's a promoter. He's a booze mogul. He's one of those guys.
Yeah, nice.
He said at the top of the list of objectionable behaviour was people throwing glasses and bottles at unsuspecting crowds. Lobbing a finished stubby across the room.
Because at least, like, poo on a couch, he had to poo.
Yeah.
That was... This is just...
You don't have to throw a stubby across the dance floor.
And poo on a couch, while it is unsanitary and disgusting.
You're not going to kill
someone.
It's not going
to bonk someone on the head.
You're not
going to
kill someone pooing.
I also hate when people put their glasses just on the floor. Like, someone could slip over on that, break their ankle.
So dangerous.
Put it on a table.
Like you do when you vomit in your cups.
You had to know that was coming.
I actually didn't. I haven't done that in a long time.
Really?
How many times have you done that?
Several. Several.
More than five?
Absolutely.
Several times you've vomited into a little cup.
What do you want me to do? Vomit on the floor? I can't make it to the toilet.
Of course.
Moderate your drinking?
Oh, Matthew, please. From the King of Steins, it's a bit rich.
Yeah, you're right, actually.
From the King of Steins, it's very rich.
It's a big glass house in here today.
It sure is.
A Munich glass house.
He's described the tossing of glasses and stubbies as absolutely revolting. Yeah. It happens in concerts, happens in clubs. It's normally males 99.9% of the time. They'll scull a stubby and throw it backwards into a crowd. It's a rat act,
says
the booze mogul. A faceless crime. It's cowardly, absolutely.
Yeah, that's awful.
A lot of them are plastic now in clubs, like in nightclubs. Those cups are all... that kind of thick plastic.
Yeah.
I hate those cups.
Ben, what did you see at the club?
So I used to work in a coastal pub.
Yeah.
And one day we had a Bucks group come through the public bar.
Ooh.
The Bucks was in a mankini.
A mankini, nice.
Borat style.
Borat. Was it green?
It was green.
Nice.
And it was quite hairy. So he didn't leave a lot to the imagination. But he went to the toilet, and then when he walked out, he had a urinal, and he proceeded to eat it.
A urinal cake?
Yes.
Oh, no. What kind of animal eats one of those?
Yeah, disgusting.
He swallowed it?
He swallowed it, yeah.
Oh,
he ate the whole thing.
Oh, jeez. Ate the whole thing.
They shouldn't be called cakes.
No, they
fair.
Shouldn't.
No,
they
it is confusing.
Tasty.
They should be called cookies.
The Marty Sheargold Show is on Triple M. This is The Marty Sheargold Show.
How'd you lose a limb is the question we're asking now.
Let us know through Insta at Marty Sheargold
Show. I'll accept digits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Toes.
Yes.
Yep.
Maybe a fun one, like an ear.
I was going to suggest an ear. my throat.
It happens.
Mm.
You know.
Yeah.
And we can have an adult conversation about it.
Accidents.
One of my best friends, Blake, lost the top of his finger.
Yeah.
Literally like that. And the first time I saw it, it was like, I couldn't stop staring at it. I was like,
some people wear missing fingers very well.
Oh, he does.
You know.
Yeah.
My grandfather had a missing finger and it was great.
Yeah.
You know. On his smoking hand, it was a yellow, stumpy thing. It looked like a proper Australian old man's finger. Stained with nicotine.
Yeah.
Been through the war.
Yeah.
And it looked like a proper half finger.
Yeah.
I was always
impressive.
Happy to see that finger.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I was like, geez, that finger's done some work.
Yeah.
That
badge of honour.
That half finger.
Yeah.
Lost it in a motorbike chain.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. But he told me that's the one where they had the hole in the toilet out the back dunny, and he told me a spider bit it off. You try doing a poo in your tent out there, just staring at the hole in the wall.
Spider the size of a dinner plate. What was this?
Sticks its head out and bites your finger off. Some of the NFL fans who attended a near-record cold game in Kansas City suffered extreme frostbite and had to undergo amputations, doctors have revealed.
What?
I can't feel my legs!
Oh, this game was crazy cold.
Yeah.
Minus 20.
Well, why have it there?
Well, I mean, I don't understand the sort of what constitutes a cancellation of a game over there.
Mm.
It's minus 20 to watch the Kansas City Chiefs host the Miami Dolphins. Jesus, Miami would have been out of their depth in that kind of
race.
It was a wild card round in mid-Jan. The wind chill made it feel like it was minus 33.
Why would you even go?
Was that the one where they were jumping into the snow without shirts on in the stands?
That was in Buffalo.
Right.
Yeah, so it was a crazy cold snap around that part of the country at the time. And I remember the Dolphins quarterback didn't want to wear gloves because he wanted to feel the ball.
Mm.
And he's like, it's a mindset. I'm like, no, mate, negative 33.
Yeah, you're going to lose a finger.
I mean, these seats are frozen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why are you going? I mean, there's no fun in that.
I think Tay-Tay was at this game.
Yeah, but she was in a box.
In a box.
Yeah, she was sitting out there. She's those punters. He hasn't even got a shirt on. He probably lost his nipples, the idiot. G'day, Reese.
How are we?
You're wonderful, Reese. Go, mate.
No, you go first.
Did you lose a lip?
No, I didn't lose it. It was intentionally removed.
Oh, okay. Oh, which one?
Oh, dear.
So my fourth metacarpal on my right hand. I got told I had a broken hand for 6 months. I was in a half cast and... doped up, and then I went to good old St. Vinny's in the city, put a dye in my skin, did an MRI, and about 5 minutes later, I'm up having surgery, and a fifth of my hand's gone.
Right, wow. So that is the bone that comes out of almost your wrist up to your lower knuckle.
Yeah, correct. So what actually had to happen was the fourth and fifth metacarpal on my right hand both got amputated. They looked at the fourth one and said no good, so put that in a bin somewhere. It's lost now.
Yeah.
And then they moved the fifth one over, and now I've got a Ninja Turtle hand.
Oh, wow. So they just shifted your little finger over to, so that your first four fingers are still intact.
That's exactly right. I need to swing a hammer for work, so you know.
Yeah.
So you still have fingers attached to that metacarpal.
Yeah, but one's one's technically just missing.
Mm.
It'll be like that now.
Yeah, it's like that.
Could you see?
So, yeah, but I'm lucky to be alive. There are
well done, mate. They got it early. Yeah.
Jody, how did you lose a limb?
It was my cousin, my older cousin.
Mm.
Her and her younger brother were fighting over, you remember those little old square Metro chewing gums?
Metro no. Chewy.
Metro no. Chewy. I don't think I do remember Metro.
They don't make them anymore.
Yeah.
Anyway, they were fighting over one of those, and they're only tiny little things. So they decided that they should cut it in half.
Yeah.
So they put it on an old stump in my auntie and uncle's backyard.
Ooh.
And my younger cousin got the tomahawk out, and she's holding it. And so he's chopped it in half, and he chopped a wedding finger off just below the knuckle.
Oh, my God.
And it's rolled off the stump, and their little dog took off with it. So they were never able to retrieve it.
No! Oh, my God.
What movie was that in where the dog's got his finger in his mouth and he's sitting there staring at it?
I've got no idea.
It's pretty funny. I saw it recently.
You got about 5 seconds, Loz.
Oh, she won't get it.
The Marty Sheargold Show. Triple M.
A holidaymaker slammed Bali for its horrific traffic and take it aim at influencers for encouraging anyone to go there. Look, I'm on record as saying I'm not a massive fan of Bali. I know you love Bali.
I do. I didn't, and then I'm a recent convert to it.
I need to go back to Bali.
Yeah, you do. It's 20 years between drinks for me up in Bali, but I love it.
Marty, if you go to the right places.
You know, I slayed a lot of fits in Bali. I slayed a lot of fits.
I don't think there'd be fits laid by...
Oh, I was slaying Okanuis. I was slaying all sorts of stuff in Bali.
You know who was just in Bali, Marty?
Who?
My cousin Natalie.
No way.
Yeah.
I haven't heard from Nat. What's she up to?
Well, she was just in Bali.
Was she? Good kid.
Yeah.
I don't think you'd go to Kuta.
No. That's not a money.
No, that seems like a young person's place. Yeah. I went to, is it Ballsack? No, Seminyak.
Seminyak. Chengdu.
I went to Seminyak. God, if I could have that week back. Oof, foul.
Did you get Bali Bali?
People on the streets cooking chicken. I'm like, no, I'm right. Thanks, mate. I just saw that come out of the stainless steel bowl next to your little oven.
But that's learning about culture.
No, that's not. That's dying. That's dying. For,
yeah.
What's it called when you get the really strong...
Salmonella.
Yeah. My friend ate a chicken burger off the streets in Vietnam and thought that his butthole was going to turn inverted. Like, honestly, he pooped that hard.
Wow. Prolapsed? Yeah. Old school?
I had a rough flight back from Bali one night.
Did you?
Yeah, with that same issue.
Yeah.
Well, you shouldn't have been in the cockpit. But have a listen to this bloke. This English bloke absolutely hates Bali.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie because I've got to be honest. I think Bali is f***ing poo. I've just come to, where am I? Kuta. And let me just show you what it's about. It is absolute carnage. Hey! I mean, look at this. For me, I don't like traffic. So I'm in the worst location in the world. Mm-hmm. And honestly, Ubud was the same.
Ubud.
Is there any more of him?
No, just this bit.
Bali is absolutely poo.
That's all we know.
His name is Richard Monckton.
Oh, Dick Monckton.
Yeah. Go to school with him as well.
On Triple M, this is the Marty Sheargold Show.
What's your best childhood sporting achievement? What about this under-14 schoolboy cricketer who's made headlines over the weekend when he smashed an unbeaten triple century in a 50-over per side match in Johannesburg? Well, there's a few amazing things there. He lived through the match in Johannesburg. Wasn't carjacked on the way to the ground.
Yes.
Josh Anderson from Trinity House, Rand Park Ridge. Oh, he seems like a white South African, doesn't he? Scored 357 not out for the under-14 A's. Playing against the under-14 Bs from St John's College.
Just smashing them out of the park.
It gets better, Marty.
Cracking shot.
Remarkably, he retired his innings with 11 overs to spare. Are you telling me this kid scored 350 or 40 overs?
He didn't even bat the 50.
Wow. He's retired at 357.
That's enough. I'll walk out now.
I'll put my bet away. St John's, in reply, unfortunately, could only master 187 runs.
The Bs.
The A's actually went on to get 591 for 9, 357 of which were from Josh. 162 ball innings, 65 boundaries, including 23 sixes.
Crack.
It was a controlled innings, nothing expansive. He batted really well, said the Barney Moyoyo, Anderson's coach.
What's his name?
It's quite the...
The Barney Moyoyo.
The Barney Moyoyo?
That's how I'm reading it.
Moyo.
Yeah. Oh. Not my yo-yo. Oh, well, my Rubik's Cube.
The Barney, my fidget spinner. G'day, Blake. What was your best childhood sporting achievement?
Well, I wasn't actually really a sporty kid, but my parents bought me a big black Labrador when I was younger.
Okay.
And I put him through dog obedience, and we won for our first year most improved dog, and I now have a massive trophy for
Well done, Blake. Wow. I wasn't sure where that was going.
Me neither. I was a bit nervous.
Big black Labrador.
Good on you, Blake.
Hello, Rob.
First time, long time.
Good on you, Rob. Oh, that was a good one. That was a good one, Rob. What's your sporting achievement as a child? I don't know why I can't say that, Rob. I've said it 14 different ways.
All good, Marty. Been there, buddy.
Yeah.
7 for none in primary school cricket back in Deniliquin.
Seven for none. That is insane.
Couldn't.
Who were you playing against?
Yeah, they're actually not a bad opposition, but we ended up getting them out that day for 2 runs.
Oh my God. Wow. It wasn't the West Indies, was it, Rob?
No, and they were 2 extras as well.
They were 2 extras. That was their score.
Imagine bowling them.
Oh my God. 7 for none. Well done, Rob.
Scott.
Hello, mate.
Firstly, first time, long time.
Good on you, Scott. Oh, that was. We didn't do our best one for you, mate. Best childhood sporting achievement?
I used to play American football here in Australia.
Yeah.
To get into the finals, we beat a team 82-2.
Oh, no.
And the coach still said we were pretty bad because we let a score through.
Right. Oh, how do you even get two in gridiron?
Score to safety.
Safety.
Is that fourth and goal?
It's where you tackle them in your end zone.
You tackled them in your end zone and you get 2 points.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Troy, have you ever tackled anyone in your end zone?
No, I haven't. I'm going to put it on my things to do list this weekend.
Yeah.
Thank you, Scott, for that.
The Marty Sheargold Show. Triple M.
We've talked about this before, but it's a fun area. Did the escalator get you?
Ooh.
Travelator trauma.
Yeah.
Travelators scare me and escalators.
Remember, I got my foot stuck and then that's when I got the Ernie and Bert puppet.
Yes.
What?
You got stuck? Yeah, when I was a kid.
Story on this
I'm not
show?
Sure. When I was a kid, we were at DJ's or somewhere like that in Sydney.
Yeah.
And
Grace Brothers?
My Grace Brothers probably was. My foot went into the side of the escalator. And then Mum was screaming like a banshee trying to pull me out of it.
Oh.
Until it had occurred to no one except some bloke down the bottom to hit that big red button.
Oh, yeah, emergency stop.
Oh, yeah.
And then when my foot came out of my sneaker, my sock was pulled, so it looked like I had lost all my toes.
Oh.
And Mum was like, his toes!
No blood.
No blood.
No.
Mum was always straight ahead.
Yeah, yeah.
First reaction stuff.
She's panicking.
Yeah,
she was
so
stressed.
Then, of course, I milked it for everything that it was worth.
Of course.
And ended up laying on Nan's couch for about 4 days.
Yeah.
And Dad or Mum said to me, what do you want? You can have anything you want.
Yeah.
I said, I want Bert. I want the Bert puppet.
Yeah.
And they were like, you got it. So I had Bert sitting on the couch with me for 4 days. There was absolutely nothing wrong with me. Great days. A lot of those people are dead now.
Oh.
Oh.
That's life, isn't it? A US pilot has filed a lawsuit after his foot got caught and swallowed in a travelator at Denver International Airport, causing him to fall over and suffer injuries.
Oh.
What is that photo that I'm looking at?
I can't work it out.
That's his sock that was all torn up, or his shoe, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I think it's
his shoe. It's the heel.
Oh, I can't make that photo out at all. Needed a bit more sort of context, I think, in that photo.
Sorry.
Kenneth Gow sued the Elevator Corporation in December and claimed that a missing piece on the end of the walkway caused the stumble.
Oh, dear. Mm-hmm.
As a result of the fall, he suffered injuries to his foot and shoulder that required physical therapy and caused him to miss work. Yeah, right, yeah. Carrying on a bit, Kenneth.
It would So it was like this bit. See how his foot would have got in there, and then it would have continued.
Well, that bit shouldn't be missing.
No way.
That's a whole set of the combs.
And always check your shoelaces before you go in these things, because that's my biggest fear, my shoelace getting caught and then my leg just gets sucked in there or something.
Oh, well, you can imagine how I was when the kids were younger after I'd actually been sucked into an escalator. Jesus Christ, it would have been the most stressful thing those children have ever done. Get ready. 2, 3, 4, up and over. Jump when I tell you to jump. Wander off.
We need to clear this thing.
Are you concentrating? I said it to you before we got on that we're going to get up to the top and you're going to need to be ready to get off. All right, let's go shopping.
All right, who wants a boost juice?
Hello, Mark.
How you going, buddy?
Wonderful, mate.
First time, long time.
Good on you, Mark.
Breaking up.
Did the escalator get you, mate?
Got the grandkids, buddy.
Oh, yeah, right.
First time to shopping centre, I think it was, that one. Yep. They were travelling along, they'd never been on one before, they're holding hands, walk, and just travelling to the end.
Oh.
And when they got to the end, they didn't realise they had to step off.
Yeah.
Both of them face planted the ground.
Oh, holding hands, that's so cute.
Double face plant at the end of the escalator.
Yeah.
Sounds like Mark's calling us from in an escalator.
It does, or Antarctica.
How funny is it when your brain does that thing, like you know that escalator isn't moving, but when you step on it, you still go, whoop.
Whoa.
Forward.
Oh, yeah.
It's so weird, isn't it?
Your brain's just expecting movement.
Yeah, but it's like, brain, I know it's not. Don't. And then it still doesn't work.
Good. The Marty Shear Gold Show on Triple M.